522-0404-WC Holland Trucking Appellant by Austin Moore versus the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission, Guy Martin Appellee by Nicholas Skiro.
Mr. Moore, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May I please the court? My name is Austin Moore, and I appear on behalf of Holland Trucking, the plaintiff employer in this case. The plaintiff disputes the findings of the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission, which found that the defendant employee suffered a low back injury that arose out of and in the course of employment with the employer on May 15th, 2017, and that the defendant's current condition of ill-being is causally related to that accident. Of course, Your Honors, we are aware of the standard in this case, but believe the evidence compels an opposite conclusion than that which the commission found. The commission relied too strongly on the defendant's testimony that he gave regarding his notice about the issues involving the suspension and seat in his truck. The commission placed weight upon the idea that a lack of written documentation of seat or suspension issues is not conclusive proof that the defendant had these problems. However, the commission, or I should say the defendant, could not give a date, a week, a month, a year when these problems allegedly arose. In fact, there are no reports we have. Out of the 200 reports we submitted into evidence, there are no reports where a defendant complained of issues with his seat or his suspension. He complained of issues involving his air conditioning unit. So we knew he did fill out these reports and he did complain if there were issues with these trucks. But we have nothing, no reports showing that he complained of issues involving his seats or his suspension, or the suspensions in his truck.
Didn't the commission find that there were some gaps in the dates of the reports made by the claimant here?
That's correct, Your Honor. There was a gap of several months, which I believe were calculated to be about 80 reports. Now, the defendant testified that these reports may have been lost. However, there is no basis for him to believe these reports were lost because he allegedly submitted these reports complaining of these issues involving his seats and suspension. So if he's alleging that they were lost, then there is no evidence showing that we did lose these reports, that these reports that they were lost. And if these reports existed, they would have been submitted into evidence, but there are no reports. The absence.
Where would he? I mean, what would he have done with them if he did not submit them?
Well, Your Honor, the witness for the plaintiff, the employer, testified that, you know, on certain occasions, of course, you know, even though they're supposed to fill out these reports, there are cases where the employees do not fill out these reports and they don't get submitted. So it's possible, you know, so our position is these reports, you know, if they exist, don't say anything about suspension or seat issues, but really they probably don't even exist. There weren't, he probably just didn't fill them out, never turn them in like he was supposed to. There are no, and certainly no reports were filled out involving issues with his seat or suspension. Because there were no issues. These were newer trucks, which as the employer's witness, the plaintiff's witness, Mr. Hogue, testified, you know, these seats, there were very little bottoming out or bouncing around. If they did bottom out, then those trucks would be removed immediately, fixed, and returned. So, you know, if defendant's complaining of these defects, and there is a report out there that says he had an issue, then that truck will have been fixed immediately and he would have been back out there in a new truck. So I believe it's beyond believable that, all these reports have these supposedly missing reports have allegations or reports of issues with his truck. These were new trucks.
Mr. Moore, did he relate he had any personal conversations with people at Holland or in supervision at Holland about these seats?
I believe, the commission mentioned he gave verbal notice. There, Mr. Hogue, who testified for the employer, did not testify that he ever spoke to the defendant, the employee, about this issue. But to be quite honest, I'm not sure if he spoke to anybody at the plant itself. And the commission says he gave verbal or written notice. But the notice in this case would have been these reports. These reports don't exist. And of course, the commission relied upon or made note of Mr. Hogue's testimony that, some of these seats still bottomed out. Well, the bottoming out is a defect, not a feature of the truck. And like I said earlier, if there had been an issue, the truck would have been repaired immediately and he would have been placed in a new truck. But of course, we have no reports here which show that.
Right, Mr. Moore, and that would relate to even if he's in the middle of his Danville to Cincinnati trip and he's made a stop, if he reported it verbally or otherwise, they'd switch out that tractor at that location, or would they wait until he got back?
So how these reports work is when a driver, such as the defendant in this case, reaches a new location, he fills out a report, leaves a copy for the next driver, and if there is nothing wrong with the truck, then they can see there's nothing wrong and they can continue on their way. In this case, I don't think there's any evidence that he stopped at a location in, Cincinnati or Danville or wherever, fill out a report or communicate to anybody that there was an issue with his truck, because if there had been an issue with his truck, he would have gone beyond the verbal and he would have filled out a report and the report would have been submitted to the repair shop repair shop, whatever they call it, to fix the truck. So, there's just no evidence here that there are these missing reports. Number one, exist, and two, that they complain of any defects. I mean, if there is one report that has a defect and it somehow got misplaced, well, there is one defect in one truck and he submitted a report, it somehow got lost, and then he got a new truck and was on his way. I disagree with the commission that there were all these defects with his trucks that, caused them to bottom out, to bounce them all around the truck, and exacerbate a low back condition.
Did his job entail anything other than sitting and driving his truck that may have caused additional discomfort and ultimate injury?
Yes, Your Honor, in terms of there were other job duties, which
And were those jobs reported on these sheets, DVR sheets, whatever they were called? Is that job related in some way that when I twisted, something happened?
No, Your Honor. In terms of the inspection reports, those reports are specific to the vehicles. In terms of his job duties, There were, I would say, three primary doctors in this case. Dr. McCaskill, who is a chiropractor, and I have a chiropractor in my family. No disrespect to chiropractors, but comparing a chiropractor to a spine surgeon such as Dr. Van Fleet, the plaintiff employer's doctor, the credibility between the two doctors is significant. And, so really it comes down to here, so I don't believe there really should have been any weight placed upon Dr. McCaskill's opinions, which Dr. McCaskill said he would consider deferring to a surgeon for causation, but really it comes down to Dr. Sasso and Dr. Van Fleet. Dr. Sasso is a surgeon like Dr. Van Fleet, but Dr. Sasso did not have as much information as Dr. Van Fleet. I mean, the commission notes in their decision that Dr. Sasso obtained a history from the petitioner, who the defendant employee, but you know, in his deposition, Dr. Sasso stated that he did not know the defendant's specific job duties. He did not know the details of the truck, the routes he drove, the items he was required to load and unload, or how much they weighed. He did not have a written job description. All he really said was, you know, I've treated long haul truckers before, which okay. You know, I guess there are some similarities between long haul truckers, but I don't think he can generalize that what the defendant employee did for Holland is the same as what someone did for Saya or another trucking company. So Dr. Sasso's opinion is strictly based on, well, this guy has is dealing with a back issue, and there's no dispute there. There's no dispute there's a back issue. Her Dr. Van Fleet admitted so himself. But Dr. Van Fleet reviewed a written job description. He talked to the defendant. He was a truck driver himself, which I know the commission downplayed quite a bit. But I do want to address real quick here it really wasn't specifically mentioned in the commission decision, but I know defendant's attorney has mentioned it a few times, that Dr. Van Fleet said, well, there's a 1% chance that the job duties exacerbated his underlying condition. But if you look at the overall context of what he was saying, I mean, it's like asking a scientist, will a meteor strike the earth? Well, no. Well, is there a 1% chance? Well, sure, there's a 1% chance. There's a chance for anything to happen. But in this case, you know, doctor, and regardless, even if Dr. Van Fleet was serious about a 1% chance, that's not a reasonable degree of medical certainty. That's not beyond, he wasn't serious. And two, that's not, you know, the correct, it's not a standard. He wasn't. So really, Dr. Van Fleet's opinions is this did not exacerbate underlying conditions. This guy has significant low back issues he's had forever. It's part of the natural aging process. And it's not related. So,
Dr. Van Fleet didn't say, at least not that I recall, that his job was related to just driving that truck. He knew that there was more to it, correct? As did correct. Dr. Sasso. Sasso knew that there was more than just driving a truck, didn't he?
Correct. Dr. Van Fleet had a copy of the written job description provided by Holland, which Dr. Sasso did not. Dr. Sasso, it says here in the commission decision, he obtained a history from a petitioner, but from his, like I said earlier, from his testimony, he really did not know anything about the job. He knew the defendant drove a truck. He knew he had to load and unload the truck, but he really did not know everything that went into it that Dr. Van Fleet did, because Dr. Van Fleet had that added element, which was the written job description.
But the written job description, did it include the weights of the dock plates and the weights of some of the freight and how the freight might shift during the course of the travel?
You know, Your Honor, I'm not 100% sure if it had the exact weight. And it had the heavy lifting requirements, you know, lifting requirements to perform the job, what he was required to do. But again, that's more than what from what we know of Dr. Sasso, that Dr. Sasso, well, I know the literature on long-haul truckers, and I know I've had treated long-haul truckers before. Well, okay, but have you know, this is a very specific case to this very, very specific individual and for a certain company, Holland. So there was no testimony.
Long-haul trucking was a lot different than getting appliances across town to, you know, residential or even commercial businesses, correct?
Correct, Your Honor. That's fair. I However, I think Dr. Van Fleet, in terms of his experience of driving a truck, that has to do more with driving the truck and less to do with loading. I know the weight requirements and unloading, unloading of the truck and what went into that. Dr. Van Fleet just, so he had two different opinions, one based on the driving of the truck and whether these seats, these moving seats had anything to do with it or not. And just to conclude, Your Honor, I see the red lights on. The employer phrase that this court find the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission's finding that the defendant employee's injuries arose out of in the course of employment and causally related to his job duties was against the manifest weight of the evidence, and that the circuit court's order affirming that decision was erroneous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. Shiro, you may respond.
Thank you, and good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. Last topic first. The testimony of Dr. Van Fleet is not credible, as the commission found, for two reasons. Number one, in his written report, Dr. Van Fleet indicated that the petitioner's condition was not causally related to work nor exacerbated. However, he testified that the work could have exacerbated the degenerative disc disease, but wasn't so sure as the spinal stenosis. So it could be argued that Dr. Van Fleet, while his opinions are not credible, they would support the decision. The topic of the driver vehicle inspection reports that the respondent appellant brings up, first of all, I do believe they are defective. The commission thought so. 86 of those reports were missing. And on any one of those, the claimant could have made the complaint. Furthermore, the driver inspection reports, or lack thereof, are only one factor in determining whether any defect involving the trucks was a causal factor. The other factors are the physical requirements of the job, and that has been laid out in the brief. I understand now that the respondent doesn't like what their witness, Mr. Hogue, stated, that even the newer trucks could bottom out on occasion. Also, there is no evidence that the petitioner continued driving a defective truck. Once he got in the truck, if he identified a defect, he couldn't report it until he was either at the next stop or already back. So he would essentially have to drive that vehicle for the day, and then it would be changed out for a newer one until his truck could be serviced and put back in the field. And it was the testimony of the petitioner that was found credible, that he testified that when he was driving, he would feel the bottom out, which would cause the lower back pain followed by the radiation down his lower extremities. A lot of the argument today, I believe, is an attempt to reweigh the evidence, which is not proper at this point. The commission decided to accept Dr. Sasso over Dr. Van Fleet, and that is uniquely the commission's function. There is some evidence supporting the decision, so it should be affirmed.
Well, when did the numbness, or the, I guess maybe the tingling first and then the numbness in his feet happen? Was that later? That was about the April date?
I believe so, Justice. I think the testimony is that He had had symptoms of a progressive nature a year out before his visit with the chiropractor McCaskill on May the 15th of 2017, when he just reported that the symptoms were getting worse. And I believe they were getting worse as he worked, to the point where he was having the numbness and couldn't literally move. So I think that was all part of the progressive nature that finally caused him to go seek help from the chiropractor initially.
Any other questions?
I will rest on my brief, but I will field any additional questions that your honors may have.
I don't see that we do. Thank you, Mr. Shiro. Mr. Moore, you may reply.
Thank you. Just to address real quick what Mr. Skiro argued, which was that we are trying to reweigh the evidence. I think here, you know, the manifest weight, finding that there is a, you know, there's enough evidence that can compel an opposite conclusion. That's a standard. And I think what we argue here today shows that, you know, the evidence is strong enough to compel his courts to find an opposite conclusion. I mean, even though Dr. Van Fleet said that, you know, sure, job duties could, you know, again, could exacerbate an underlying condition, they did not in this case. He was more familiar with the job, more familiar with the job duties, and you know, Dr. Sasso wasn't. He denied knowing really anything other than that he had treated long haul truckers and that petitioner, that the employee had, you know, underlying issues. So we don't believe Dr. Sasso is really that credible. And Dr. Van Fleet is credible. He's more credible. And we are asking that this court will return the findings of the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission.
But could indicates that the doctor said it might have, it could have. So shouldn't that have been considered? And isn't that what the commission did?
I think you're saying it could in a, you know, I mean, anything could happen. I mean, anything, any situation, you know, typing on a computer could cause an issue with your hand. Doesn't mean it did. And in this case, it, you know, just because it could have, lifting a heavy thing, you know, could have. In this case, it didn't. He reviewed all the records. He reviewed all the films. He reviewed the written job description. And he said it did not cause or exacerbate an underlying condition. So, you know, in terms of could, did, you know, I don't think that really means much.
Did he indicate any treatment? This is Dr. Van Fleet, indicate any sort of treatment that would assist the claimant?
Yes, Your Honor. Dr. Van Fleet did agree that, you know, he would need, that treatment was reasonable, but again, there's no dispute this guy had underlying issues. The position is these underlying conditions were not exacerbated by his job duties. So, you know, so yeah, I mean, Dr. Van Fleet did agree with treatment, but not that it was related to his job.
How long had he been truck driving by the time he saw Dr. Van Fleet?
I believe he had been driving for about 20 years.
And he was not to be disrespectful, but he certainly was not an athletic-like person. Isn't that correct?
I believe that's correct.
All right. So he's driving a truck. He's hauling the dock plates. He's trying to shift weight or help shift the weight in the truck when he loads and unloads. And he has made verbal complaints, we're aware of, that those air seats don't always work. So what else do we need?
I mean, I based on his testimony, I mean, the commission did not hear his testimony live, of course. I believe his testimony that he gave verbal notice was credible, but that's all we have. And of course, the written notice, which we don't have. So,
well, one last question about that. Whose possession should that written notice be in? The company, the claimant, the truck, does it stay in a locker in the truck? Where does it stay?
I believe there are multiple copies. One stays in the truck, then one goes to, if needed, the repair shop, and then one for the employer.
Okay, but the employee doesn't actually retain a copy of it.
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
So if these 86 or 87 reports are missing, the truck is Holland's and it goes to Holland and the repair shop is Holland's probably, or designated by Holland. So who's most responsible for the recovery or the reports that are filed?
Your Honor, I believe it'd be the employer who'd have a copy of that. But unfortunately, we just have the reports we have, which indicates to me that those reports don't exist. That's our position.
Okay, very good. Any other questions? Okay, very good. Well, thank you, counsel, both for your arguments in this matter this morning. It will be taken under advisement and a written disposition shall issue.